Good morning, Santa Fe. Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later in the program, Rob DeWalt is going to be with us, sitting in for Robert Knott. Right now, I would like to announce that my scheduled guest has not shown up. So we're going to play a little bit of music, which is to celebrate the upcoming Jazzology concert. Laurel is in the control room. Tell us about what's going on.
Well, at the Lodge on the 5th of November, we are having the annual KSFR Jazz Night. And if anyone is interested in tickets, please give us a call at 428-1379. Queued up here, I have a song. It says Jay Rowles. I'm not sure what this person's first name is, but it's The Peacocks from Jazzology's first edition from 2002.
Let's hear it. And that is music of Jazzology, and we are, our morning guest still has not shown up, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, we were going to have Mary Jane Straw Cook on the air. She's the author of Doña Tules, Santa Fe's Courtesan and Gambler, and she will actually be at Collected Works Bookstore tomorrow, Saturday, October 27th, at 4 in the afternoon. Interesting story about an interesting woman, but we're probably not going to be talking about it much today. Let's hear a little bit more music. Laura, what do you have queued up in the control room?
Well, I have some of the Southwest Jazz Orchestra. They will also be at KSFR's Jazz Night on the 5th of November. And this is their version of John Coltrane's A Love Supreme. And they have a little introduction that talks about this a little bit. Shall we hear?
Yes, let's hear it.
Let's hear.
A man named John Coltrane put out vibrations that absolutely mesmerized all of us. And if the music doesn't blow off the stand, we're going to play our version of his opus, magnum opus, A Love Supreme. Not too loud. We don't want it to rain.
And I would like to welcome now Dorothy Massey. She is the proprietor of Collected Works Bookstore. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
I'm an eager but not very adept stand-in for Mary Jane Straw Cook. We must have had a miscommunication. But we're looking forward to having her tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on the heels of John Nichols, who will be at Collected Works this afternoon at 5:30 with his new book, Empanada Brotherhood, a novel set in New York. And I know Garcia Street has had a couple of readings this week. So it's a busy week for books all around, and Santa Fe is a busy place for authors, poets, and people who enjoy literature.
What is, I mean, when you look at a town the size of Santa Fe, how can a town so small be such a literary city, or is it such a literary city?
I think it's a literary city in the same vein that it attracts artists, visual artists, performing artists. I think all of these artistic bents in culture feed off each other. It's a very yeasty city for ideas, for creativeness, and that certainly spills over into the literary world and the poet world. It is also a very supportive city, both for visual performing artists, people who are authors and poets. They don't tend to hole up in a corner and keep themselves to themselves and guard their material. It is a very outgoing city and a very sharing city. Poets and authors are teachers, and they conduct workshops, and they share their knowledge. And I think that attracts a great many people to come here to study, to work, and to find an environment that will support the creative bent.
How is it that in big cities, for example, I used to live in Boston, and it used to be that in Cambridge, Massachusetts, there were, what, 24 bookstores in the Harvard Square area, and now there really aren't any except for mega chains. There are no more independent bookstores. That's a huge city populated by college students and intellectuals up the wazoo, so to speak. Here in Santa Fe, tiny town, how is it that we support multiple independent bookstores?
We are a tiny town. We are a town of, what, 70,000?
Something like that.
Residences. And then, of course, it goes way up in the summertime when we have the tourists in. I think perhaps the mega chains didn't focus on Santa Fe initially. We do have two Borders here. They are not huge super stores, but they're very large stores. And the town, I think, went kind of largely unnoticed and also very much supported by the fact that there were a number of small town, small bookstores. The worm, I think, is turning, and I would hope for your old area in Boston, as well as some of the other larger cities. I think the small stores that were going to go out of business have gone out of business. And I think people are beginning to rediscover the joys of coming into smaller stores, such as Collected Works, such as Garcia Street, such as the Ark, because of the care that they receive from the people that are waiting on them, the knowledge of the book people that are there. And I have a feeling that small stores are going to be perhaps coming back, maybe never to where they were before. We belong to the American Booksellers Association, which is a national organization of independents, and for years and years those figures were dropping and dropping and dropping, and it was very sad. And all the talk was, did you hear this is going out of business? Did you hear that is going out of business? And now there are some people beginning to poke their noses out of the ground and actually invest in small bookstores, and they're still here. Durango has a wonderful bookstore called Maria's, and they held on through thick and thin, and now they're just booming and expanding. It is exciting, and I do think that the small store is coming back, and if I didn't, I wouldn't be sharing the ownership of Collected Works with my daughter, who has joined me, who I hope is going to do it for the next 20 years.
What, I mean, you're downtown, you're across the street from the Lensic. What are the books that are most popular at any given moment? What kind of things? Are people basically coming in for Santa Fe guidebooks? Are they coming in for super political literature of the kind that we have in the Lannan Reading Series sometimes and so on?
Well, the political literature is growing and growing and growing, and that has become a huge part of our selection that we offer and the selection that we sell. We get a number of tourists coming through, so of course we have the guidebooks and we have the history books, and actually Mary Jane Straw Cook's is a wonderful example, the one that she will be signing tomorrow on Donatulus. There has been a novelized version of this quite extraordinary lady who came out on the Santa Fe Trail. Ruth Laughlin wrote something called When Leaves No Shadow, which has a terrible cover, but wonderful words inside. And
now, that does raise a question. Do people judge books by their cover?
Always. No. To a certain extent, yes, I think they do. And a work such as Wind Leaves No Shadow should not have a bodice ripper cover on the front, because people can find it very off-putting. But it's a wonderful...
But, I mean, if something should have a bodice ripper on the cover, it's the story of Doña Tules.
Well, yes, it is indeed. And we do try to stay away from things that have padded pink covers, but the lady who came out, well, lady might be a questionable term. Anyway, she was a gambler. She ran a house of somewhat lower repute right down on Borough Alley across the street from our store. And she was a financial wizard who actually bailed out the city government once when it was in trouble, and quite a force to be reckoned with. Mary Jane Straw Cook has done a wonderful job of meticulous research, which is her bent, and presenting it in a lively manner, but with all the facts there. The Ruth Laughlin book that preceded it had some embellishments in there that I don't think were totally researched, but it's great fun reading. So what do we sell? We sell a lot of political books. Of course, we're the city is blessed with the Lannan Foundation, which has set a very high standard of presentation of authors. We have, at the moment, one of the bestsellers, obviously, is the Valerie Plame book. Garcia Street is bringing Valerie Plame to the Lenzic on November the 6th with her book called Fair Game.
Which I am recording an interview next week, and we'll air it on Wednesday
of
next week.
Well, I look forward to hearing it very much indeed. This, as everybody knows, is the lady that was outed as a CIA agent by political operatives during the aftermath of her husband, Joseph Wilson's, trip for the United States government, and he cast some doubts on the ability of the Iraqi government to obtain necessary product for making weapons of mass destruction. And shortly thereafter, Valerie Plame's name was leaked to the press. They have moved here to Santa Fe, and I would encourage, it's my competitor's event, but I would encourage everybody to go. The Lannan does bring in wonderful authors and poets. We have the with Corsos, the Southwest Writers Association, run by Ellen Bradbury Reed, who brings in wonderful, wonderful writers, and they do workshops and they do teaching. We have all just come off the Short Story Festival here in Santa Fe, which brought a number of people to the beautiful campus of the James A. Little, and that was a very exciting event. So I used to work many years ago for somebody who ran an opera company, and his theory was nothing helps opera like more opera. We think nothing helps literature like more literature and more authors, and it is an exciting place to be.
How did you get into this business of small bookstore bookselling?
Oh, I kind of backed into it. I suddenly found myself in the unenviable position of being a widow 20 years ago, and while I was, I needed to work. I had two children in college. I also needed to get out of the very small town in New England where I was living, and my daughter was connected with bookstores, had always worked in bookstores through high school and college, and she suggested it to me, and I thought, why not? And I looked around to see what was available, taught myself about retail, and lo and behold, something popped up as available in Santa Fe. Collected Works had been run wonderfully by Lynn Moore, and I was not so stupid as to start something. I wanted to find something that was already ongoing. And I got Santa Fe as a bonus, and it's been a wonderful 15 years.
Dorothy Massey, thank you so much for being with us here on KSFR. We're going to take a little break right now, and when we come back, we'll be speaking of the arts with Rob DeWalt. Stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is events editor for the Pasatiempo Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's here sitting in for the inimitable Robert Knott.
That's correct.
Speaking of the arts, it's great to have you.
Good. It's great to be here. Thank you. I think Robert's taking a much-needed vacation. I'm not sure what he's doing with this time, but
I think he went to Gallup, didn't he?
He said something about getting in the car and disappearing, but that's all I know.
It's either Gallup or Grant's, one of the two. So what's happening in Santa Fe and environs this weekend?
Well, this is the time of year when everyone sort of breaks out the Halloween-themed events and Day of the Dead-themed events.
Oh, that's so true.
So there's all kinds of interesting stuff going on. I mean, on the tail of the celebrating Oktoberfest earlier in the year, I complained in my column last week that there just wasn't enough Oktoberfest activities going on. I want to see Men in Lederhosen, and I just never do in town, and I think it's unfair. Well, someone, decided that it was important to get that in before the end of October. So on Friday night at the Santa Fe Brewing Company, a band from Albuquerque called Die Polka Schlingel is coming.
It's called what?
Die Polka Schlingel. It's a 12-man... polka ensemble from Albuquerque. They play a lot in Red River, but I don't think I've ever seen them here in town. And so this is your last chance to get some polka Oktoberfest fever on at the Brewing Company tonight.
But what about the Lederhosen?
They will have Lederhosen.
Really?
Yes. And they'll have the suspenders and the funny shoes and hats and
with the shaving brushes and the hat band.
I don't know about the hat bands. I've seen photos, very blurry photos. They don't exactly have a press kit, but they do look like a lot of fun.
And you'll be there.
And I'm going to try and be there tonight. I have a lot of people grabbing for my attention because my birthday is on Monday, so everyone wants to take me out and do all these strange things. But we'll see. We'll see how I feel tonight.
We won't pursue what that means. what else is happening?
Well, speaking of strange things, the tiger lilies. Have you heard about these folks?
Yes, I have. Tell us about them.
It's a trio from London. I mean, generally they have a few other musicians with them, and they're traveling here and they do this sort of. It reminds me of if Clockwork Orange were a musical. It would be the Tiger Lilies. They're a London-based performance art trio.
That is, that's very terrifying.
It's very terrifying, and I'm going to say it's probably not one for the kids. They, mm-hmm. Their songs are a bit racy, and the singer, whose name is Jacques, let's see, what is his name? Oh, Martin Jacques. He's trained his voice. He sings in a castrati style.
Good heavens.
Yes, and they wear interesting costumes. He plays the accordion and he sings, and there's a wild percussionist. And I've seen interviews and I've seen video footage of the performance, and it sounds like something that really shouldn't be missed. And that's actually on Halloween. That's coming up on Wednesday at the James A. Little Theater. Center for Contemporary Arts is presenting the event. It's at the James A. Little Theater on Wednesday, Halloween night at 7:30 p.m., and James A. Little Theater is at the New Mexico School for the Deaf. It's 1060 Cerrillos Road. And you can get tickets by calling the CCA at 982-1338.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. If I'm still around on Halloween after the weekend, then that's one thing I'm definitely going to do. It's the Friday Art Walk for the Delgado Street area. All the galleries are opening up and...
The Delgado Street area,
yeah,
as opposed to the Canyon Road area.
As opposed to the Canyon Road area, there's this grouping of galleries like Gallery Esteban, 8 Modern, the Pip and Michael Gallery, the Pip and Michael Fine Art, and they're having the Randall Hassan Gallery, and they're all having openings tonight, and they usually start around 5 and go till about 8. Owings Dewey North has a show called Recycled Reclaimed. Reformed. It's the annual Invitational Shrine exhibition, and artists are putting together shrines like they do every year. And there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. and that show is up through the 24th of November. But it's kind of makes sense to see it around Halloween and Day of the Dead, and that's going to be a great show.
Hey, did you hear that Slow Food Santa Fe is doing a Dia de los Muertos feast?
Where and when?
On the 3rd of November at the El Dorado Community Center. I hate it when they don't put the day of the week. I think that's a Saturday.
Yes, that's a Saturday.
At the El Dorado Community Center from 4 o'clock on, and you're supposed to bring flowers and candles and photographs of departed loved ones and so on. And you have to pay to get in, and if you would like to make a reservation, you can call 466-4469.
There's another Day of the Dead celebration the day before that. Actually, it's on Friday the 2nd. And that's it, at the Santuario de Guadalupe. It's a fundraiser. There's a silent auction, there's games, raffles, food, and it's a fundraiser for Los Niños de Santa Fe Ballet Folklorico, and that's from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Santuario de Guadalupe, 100 South Guadalupe Street, and I don't have a number to call. Actually, I do, 982-1829, extension 1370. There is a cover charge for that.
There's also, believe it or not, a chocolate tasting on the 4th of November at 4 o'clock, and that's a lecture in chocolate tasting by Mark Cicenti of Cacao House Chocolates. Number for that is 820-2745.
Love the cacao elixirs. Kind of addicted. Now that they moved into my neighborhood, it's kind of addictive. I did a review of a couple of the chocolate places here in town, and that
really?
Was one of them. Mark Cicenti's.
That's tough work, but someone's got to do it.
Well, here's the funny thing is that I'm allergic to milk chocolate, so I can only have fairly dark chocolate. If it's got a lot of milk solids in it, I blow up like a blueberry.
Lactose intolerant.
Lactose chocolate intolerant, I guess.
But
I love milk.
You can eat ice cream.
I love chocolate. I just can't have them together.
Hmm.
Yeah. But that sounds actually really interesting. I'm thinking of doing that.
Yeah, because that's supposedly ancient style chocolate, like Aztec chocolate and Mayan chocolate and things like that. How they know is beyond me. But.
Well, in terms of the Mayan stuff, I don't know. But he also does a lot of European elixirs based on recipes from like the 14th, 15th, and 1600s. And if you go in, he's got a menu and he lists all the ingredients in it, and some of them are fairly obscure. But they're all tasty. You know, if you're expecting something really sweet, you might be put off. But it's still chocolate, so who cares?
Just add sugar surreptitiously.
Exactly, exactly. And he uses all natural ingredients, a lot of agave nectars and things like that. Saturday, there is the 15th annual Halloween Masquerade Party. And that's an event. It's a benefit for the Espanola Valley Humane Society.
Did you say Halloween?
Halloween as in... Oh. Anyway, live and silent auctions, food, libation, fire
dancing.
If
my dogs are listening today, you're in trouble.
I know. That's how my dogs... They howl every morning.
They do?
We have a little talk, and we... You know, you can't do anything too high-pitched because it hurts their ears, but I just have this way of talking that makes the dogs howl every single morning. And
What way of talking is that?
I don't know. I don't think I can do it on the air. It would probably not be good for the microphone or your ears or anyone else's for that matter.
Okay, then.
But it's low pitch. It's nothing that hurts them. It's just they just like to howl in the morning. And that's how we say good morning to each other. Anyway, the Halloween ball, live silent auctions, food, libations, fire dancers, stilt walkers, jugglers, tumblers, and there's also a street fair. And that's at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, the 27th. And that's at El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe at 1615B, Paseo de Peralta. And, of course, it is a benefit. There is a cover charge. If you call 466-4304 or go to www.espanolashelter.org, you can find tickets for that event. And that's going to be fun. There's an event that I barely was able to get into the calendar, but the woman that called was so sweet. I just had to just relent and put it in. And it's a good thing. It's a community forum on domestic and sexual violence called Seeking Solutions, and it's a panel discussion with I can't remember her name. Anyway, she's mediating this panel.
Nancy Nielsen,
with community leaders, and this audience participation is encouraged. That's on the same day. That's Saturday, the 27th, at the Santa Fe Scottish Rite Center, formerly known as the Scottish Rite Masonic Temple, from 1 to 3 p.m., and that's at the Big Pink Church.
It's not called... They changed their name?
Yes. When they have events, they don't want the name Masonic or Temple to be put in there. They just call themselves the Scottish Rite Center or the Santa Fe Scottish Rite Center. Why, I'm not sure, but hey, that's okay. Also on Saturday is this concert by the Gorgor Girls, Detroit... I call them garage rockers. Lovely girls. Steve Terrell did a piece on them in his Terrell's Tune Up column today, and along with a couple of other bands that have lots of girls in them. It's an entertaining article, and I love the Gorgor Girls. Their last album is fantastic. They're playing Saturday night at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space.
Now, Gorgor, G-O-R-E.
Gore. Well, we're sticking with the Halloween theme. We might as well go with Gore.
And
right?
Is it related to Leslie Gore, as in, it's my party and I'll cry if
yeah,
I want to?
Well, in,
if
in a way.
If Robert were here, he would sing that.
I know. I'm not much of a singer, but
nor I.
Well, maybe Robert is working on some new material, and he'll come back and sing you some Gorgor songs.
We can only hope.
Yeah, they wear the mini skirts and the booties and
the go-go boots.
The go-go boots. I've got a pair for my Halloween costume.
What are you going as?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to dress up this year. I had them for when I was working at Whole Foods about 8 years ago. I dressed up as Britney Spears' evil twin, Litney Spears. And I wore a mini skirt, a Catholic schoolgirl's outfit with a mini skirt and fishnet stockings and go-go boots, platform go-go boots, and cooked in them for 8 hours. And, yeah, and I won the contest that year, but I think that was just for the risk factor.
Where do you get platform go-go boots?
The only place that I know of is a corporate chain called Hot Topic. And they usually around Halloween will have, like, red and white and black in stock. But I don't know why I know that or should know that, but I do. But I ended up wearing them once, and I think I actually gave them to a friend because they were taking up too much room in the already full closet. So, Lenzik Halloween Party, costume contest, and screening of one of my favorite films, Gremlins.
Mm.
Love the movie Gremlins.
The Halloween screenings at the Lenzik are always so much fun. I went to Ghostbusters a couple of years ago.
They are great because it's kids, it's adults, it's movie freaks, it's everyone, and it's a fun thing to do on Halloween. It's something different that you can do. A lot of people get their trick or treating out of the way earlier. You know, we live in a different world. So, this film, the screening of this costume contest goes off at 7 p.m. on Halloween night, Wednesday, October 31st. At the Lenzik Performing Arts Center downtown. There is a fee, but you can call 988-1234 for more information. And I'd get there early for tickets because these things are usually packed. And that's a good, you know, Halloween thing. On Sunday, the 28th, Phantoms, Spirits, and Dances, the Santa Fe Symphony Orchestra in performance with Joe Hayes. Spooky storyteller Joe Hayes on the 28th, Sunday, 4 p.m., also at the Lenzik Performing Arts Center. And that's mentioned in Craig Smith's Critical Ear piece today on page 18 of the Pasa Tiempo. What else is going on? Check it out on Tuesday the 30th. Actually check, CZECH. Students from the Zeus Music School in the Czech Republic perform with the Santa Fe Youth Symphony Orchestra at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday at the St. Francis Auditorium at the New Mexico Museum of Fine Art, 107 West Palace Avenue. There's a suggested donation, and if you call 982-8483, you can get more information on that. A lot of literary stuff going on, a lot of book signings. The Doña Tulis book signing is going to be awesome. You know, Collected Works Bookstore, I practically grew up in that store when I was going to junior high and high school here. My parents would go out, and they're on rare occasions when they decided to unleash us and take us with them. We always stopped at the Collected Works Bookstore before we went anywhere, and we were always late for our dinner reservations because we were all browsing for books. I love that place.
That's so great.
And I'm glad that it's a family business and that someone else in the family is involved. You know, there's hope. There's hope.
There always is hope.
Yes. Carlos Gilbert Elementary School Annual Halloween Carnival. This is a fundraiser that they do every year. The proceeds go to benefit physical education programs, teacher stipends, educational field trips, and the NDI Dance Institute program. Magical Halloween house, hay rides, haunted house, costume contest, food, games. There's no charge to get in, but it's sort of like going to a carnival. You pay, you know, a certain ticket price to do certain
12
things.
Tickets to right. ride the roller coaster.
Exactly. And that's 3 to 8 p.m. tonight. On the corner of Catron and Griffin Streets, downtown Santa Fe, and it's for a good cause. But you know, NDI, all those programs that aren't funded by the Department of Education get a little bump from people. What else? Oh, you know, I saw a film on last Saturday that opens, I believe, this week at the CCA Cinematheque called Fido. Have you heard about this?
No.
Fido
F-I-D-O.
F-I-D-O, like a dog. Billy Connolly, the Scottish comedian, plays a zombie. And it basically takes place in this sort of surreal 50s era middle America town after what's called the zombie wars. And there's a huge corporation that's figured out how to keep zombies from wanting to eat people by putting a restraining collar on them. And so this company starts selling zombies to people as, you know, domestic, you know, workers and pets. You know, kids are walking around.
As long as the collar stays on.
As long as the collar stays on. And when it doesn't, boy, I'll tell you.
All heck breaks loose.
There's all kinds of flesh eating going on. It's not scary. It's funny. It's rated R. There is a little bit of zombie gore in it, but it's a total send up. And it's, you know, if you're sick of all the scary movies, if you don't, you know, want to spend your money on Saw 4, go see Fido because it's awesome.
Did you know that Fido has the same root as fidelity?
Really?
Yeah, like my faithful dog.
Really?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Lessons in etymology, ladies and gentlemen. Robert DeWalt is with us, speaking of the arts. It's true.
What else is going on in town? On the Saturday the 27th, the Museum of Spanish Colonial Art hosts Sitting Pretty, Seating in the 19th Century New Mexico. It's an exhibit of chairs. And if you listen to the show often, you can hear chairs scooting around all the time. That's when I know I'm on the right station, is when
that
I hear...
That is so very true.
When I hear... I know I'm at the Santa Fe Brewing Company, or I'm listening to someone at the Santa Fe
Santa
Brewing
Fe
Company.
Santa Fe Baking Company.
Baking Company. That's what I meant.
First we bake, later we brew.
I'm already thinking of the polka. I'm sorry. Anyway, on Saturday, there's no reception for that this week, but that does open on Saturday at the Museum of Spanish Colonial Art, 750 Camino Lejo on Museum Hill, 982-2226. Let's see. What else? Bill Hearn's Roadhouse Review is playing on Sunday. They're also playing at the Santa Fe Brewing Company at 6:30 p.m. on the 28th. 27 Fireplace, that's out. You know, just get on to St. Francis and pretend you're heading towards Madrid, and you'll find the brewing company.
You mean Cerrillos?
And Madrid.
You mean get on Cerrillos and go south?
Well, you can get on St. Francis, too.
Oh, really?
Can't you? Well, oh, no, you have to get on St. Francis and go to I-25 and then get off at the Madrid exit, right?
No, you get Cerrillos. Off at Cerrillos Road. Ladies and gentlemen, take Cerrillos Road south. Go toward the highway, and it's after the highway, right? Or it's around there?
It's around the highway.
It's around near the highway.
There should be a big sign.
I should just take MapQuest out here.
Let's see. Also on the 28th, the Silver Starlight Lounge at Rainbow Vision Santa Fe hosts and Pride Santa Fe present a costume party, the Moulin Rouge dance party, with music by a venerable Santa Fe favorite, DJ Una, who I used to work with years and years ago.
Yeah.
At the Edge. And that's from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Sunday the 28th. And that's at the Rainbow Vision Lounge, the Silver Starlight Lounge at the Rainbow Vision Santa Fe at 500 Rodeo Road. There's only valet parking available because people actually do live there, and we wouldn't want to be parking in their spots.
Oh, no.
So be prepared for valet parking if you show up for that event. La Casa Sena, the cantina, is I think this is the second or third year that they've done it. The off-Broadway musical Bat Boy, which is kind of campy and fun. They're doing a musical review from Bat Boy, and they have a few shows. The one that would be most poignant would be the one on Wednesday, the 31st, at the cantina. And it's just a selection of songs from the musical, but it's always done with class and style, and those singers are great. You can get more information at the La Casa Sena Cantina MySpace page, which is www.myspace.com/LaCasaSenaCantina.com. Or you can call 988-9232. There's no charge, but you know, you should get reservations if you want to sit in the cantina, because that thing fills up pretty fast too. What else? Oh, Design and Media Arts Gallery at the Santa Fe Community College, 6401 Richards Avenue, is having an exhibit of photographs by Bart Ellison and Mason Kovac called Stray Shots. There's a reception on Thursday the 1st from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., and that show is up through December 7th. And this is also the time of year where it's sort of Battle of the High School Theater Groups. We have two plays going on by high schools right now. On Thursday the 1st also, students from the Santa Fe High School Theater Program present Radium Girls. It's a play by D.W. Gregory based on the court battle between radium dial painters and the company that poisons them. Sounds ominous. That starts at 8 o'clock at the Santa Fe High School Theater, which is on the campus at 2100 Yucca Road. There is a charge for it. There's a separate charge for students and seniors, and you can get more information by calling 476-2970. And also, Capital High School presents. There's a couple of performances left of a play called Life as a Techie or Something Like It. It's a play by Christopher Flytus, and they're also doing student scenes and monologues on Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Brian Fant Theater Performing Arts at Capital High School, 4851 Paseo del Sol, There is a charge, and you can get more information by calling 467-1000. And what else? Let's see. Ooh, College of Santa Fe's Beyond the Lecture Series, Bridging the Cultural Divide, on Friday. Steps Towards Peace in Iraq, a lecture by Middle East scholar Juan Cole. That's at 7
whom
o'clock.
Whom I interviewed on Wednesday.
Whom you interviewed on Wednesday, a part of it. That starts at 7 p.m., the forum, College of Santa Fe, at 1600 St. Michael's Drive. There's no charge, and you can call 473-6282.
He's one of the most thoughtful and brilliant Middle East scholars that,
really?
that we've got. Oh, my God. This Beyond the Lecture Series is incredible. Carol Carpenter has put together some of the just best people working today. Bridging the Cultural Divide is the theme, and she's really pulled it together. And Juan Cole is a treasure. He's great.
I'm gonna have to check. That's right across the street from my house, so I'm gonna have to go and check that out.
Yeah, you have to go check it out, and then go do the Lederhosen afterwards.
Then go do the Lederhosen afterwards. Probably later in the evening, the Lederhosen are more fun.
That's why they call them the Lederhosen.
The Lederhosen. There's the old VFW Hall, the Veterans Hall downtown, is having a show. They rarely do shows, but they are having one on Friday. There's a Latin pop and alt-rock group called Lion 5 that are playing at 8:30 p.m., and there is a cover. And the VFW Hall, generally I don't get much information from them as far as performances. I usually hear from bands that are playing there. But it's at 307 Montezuma Avenue, and the number there is 983-9045. Hey, I gotta tell you something about events listings.
Yes.
In the New Mexican. It's now possible for you to go to the New Mexican, which is a free website now. It's called SantaFeNewMexican.com. And if you click
on...
You
mean there's not a free and a paid subscription
right,
anymore?
That's correct.
Really?
If you go to SantaFeNewMexican.com and you go to any day on the calendar, you'll see a little link called events or list an event. And that means if you have an event in town and you forgot to shoot a press release off to the newsroom or to me, you can go online and you can click on it and you can add an event, and then we'll sift through them and get as many of them online as possible and as quickly as possible.
Excellent.
So that's good for people that have last minute events or for people that just, you know, forgot.
I would also like to say, for those who send events to me, a couple of things. One is send them a couple of days before you want them listed. So in other words, if for the Friday calendar, send them on Wednesday or Thursday. Some people send them 4 weeks in advance, and then they go to what's it called? The Vortex. Which is called the top of the inbox, mm-hmm. which has hundreds of or thousands of things in it, and you uh-huh. never find them again. Number one. Number two, if it is not clear when and where the event is, I won't read it out mm-hmm. loud. I mean, there are some things. I get an email, which is blank, and it just has a little press release in it, which is a Microsoft Word attachment, which is already a pain in the neck. Why don't they just put it in the body of the email? Mm-hmm. But never mind. And then you open that, and it says, 7 weeks from today, there will be a glorious event. And then it talks about the glory, and then about eight paragraphs down, it says when and where.
Mm-hmm.
It's not getting on the air.
Right. People when they call and they say, "What, you know, how long can I make it?" And I'm like, you can make it as long as you want. You can write a novel, as far as I'm concerned, as long as the first thing I see is the who, what, when, where, how much, and how long. And make sure that there's a number.
And you know what? If they say who, what, when, where, that's even better.
Yeah.
If they actually say those words mm-hmm. in bold type.
Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I mean, it's not from being lazy. You would be surprised how many emails you and I get in a day where it's like you have to actually spend a lot of time trying to decipher where the information is. And
yeah, and you don't do it because a lot of the time I'm reading it on the air. I'm sitting here with you or with Robert
mm-hmm.
reading aloud from something that's in front of me and going, what? What's
right.
going on here? So I just close those. I delete them.
Yes.
But it's also, for those who don't do this kind of work, which is almost everybody, it's staggering. Well, actually, this is probably true of a lot of people in different lines of work. It's staggering how much email comes into one box in one day.
Mm-hmm. I know. I have a single serve pack of spam pinned to my desk.
You mean actual?
Actual meaty, delicious spam.
Spam.
It's actually spam light. And actually, there's a slogan on the package that says, "Tear your way to Tasty Town." But it's on there because to remind me that spam is just something that you're just going to have to deal with. When you get into the office on Monday, you're going to have a lot of spam. And you'd be surprised how many press releases look exactly like spam. So, you know, if you put event listing in the subject heading, then there's a good chance that it's probably not going to be spam, and I'm going to spend more time reading it.
Yep.
On Thursday, November 1st, at the Spectre Rips Project Space at the Center for Contemporary Arts, 1050 Old Pecos Trail, there's a show called Marta and the Missing. It's an exhibit that's opening on Thursday the 1st. I believe there's a reception on the 17th of November. It's work by Maureen Burdock, and it's basically her work deals with people that have disappeared from Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. And a lot of the work is fairly whimsical. You can see there's a lot of cartoonish work, but it's you know, all of the work is based on.
Is that karate lady karateing a little dog monster?
Yeah, this is called Marta and Pepito, and it looks like they're actually a team. And I think that Marta might be.
So it's her faithful.
This is her faithful sidekick.
Fidel. It's probably called Fido because it's so full of fidelity.
Actually, it's. It's his name or her name, looks like a her from here, is Pepito.
And I'm Pepito, that would be a boy's name.
That's a boy's name. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Pepito.
It would be Pepita.
Pepita would be the girl's name.
Pepita would be the girl's name. See, these Spanish things. At least I pronounced it right.
Yeah, you've only lived here for, what, 30-something years?
Well, on and off for like 25, but, you know. Shock rocker Alice Cooper. The original shock rocker, before there was Marilyn Manson, before there was Ozzy Osbourne, before people were biting the heads off of things and making millions of dollars, Alice Cooper was biting heads off of things and making millions of dollars. And he's playing in Albuquerque on October 30th, Tuesday, at the Kiva Auditorium in Albuquerque at 7:30 p.m.
Alice Cooper still exists.
Well, I mean, if you look at the picture, it's questionable.
Ladies and gentlemen, share our mirth by getting the Positivo today. Robert DeWalt is events editor of the Positivo Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, and is here with us. Speaking of the arts, it's so wonderful to have you. Maybe we'll see you next week as well.
October 2nd? I thought you had a pre-recorded
November 2nd.
Show.
No, it turns out.
Oh, November 2nd.
Yes.
No? Okay.
And if you can't go to Alice Cooper, rent The Decline of Western Civilization, Part 2, The Metal Years.
Yes,
which features
definitely.
Many heavy metal rockers. It is an absolutely stellar piece of filmmaking by Penelope Spheeris.
Or go to Alice Cooper's restaurant in Phoenix, Arizona, Alice Cooper's Town.
There we have it. Rob DeWalt, it's great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I will see you next week.
Excellent. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Jazz a la Carta. Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company. We'll see you on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Drive safely, be happy, and shake those lederhosen.
That's right. And have a happy Halloween, everyone. I'll see you next week.
Hasta la vista.